So, Civil District Court Judge Jennifer Medley says that the mayor has a constitutional right to travel at the public's expense. The mayor announced she's going to the moon next month. I'm just teasing. Here to talk to us about that is J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member. Maybe she will go to the moon, J.P.
How are you doing, Newell? Yeah, I mean, it's pretty absurd, but honestly, with what's been coming out of district court lately, it's not surprising. I mean, it just seems like there is an absolute effort to do everything possible to maintain the status quo of God Emperor mayors who can do whatever the hell they want. And in this case, it's just they are deferring to her and against the charter to an almost absurd degree at this point.
So what is the council's intention at this point relative to this issue?
We're obviously going to appeal this. This will be our third appeal pending before the Fourth Circuit. Though apparently panels are picked at random, every single panel we have has Sandra Cabrina Jenkins on it, who has been overruled along with the Fourth Circuit by the Supreme Court on numerous occasions. So, I mean, all these cases are going to end up at the Supreme Court. The challenge really, Newell, is just the timing, because the panel how long the Fourth Circuit takes to give us a ruling, we can't go to the Supreme Court. So, I mean, it's just the local politics that's really governing this whole conversation is really gross, because if you look at a lot of this stuff objectively, like right now, not to bring up trash talk again, but we've gotten word that the city attorney is advising all the departments to break the law and move forward with that contract with Mr. Henry on August 1st. And there's no legal basis for it, because regardless of the suspensive appeal argument, Mr. Henry never invalidated the law, nor did he seek to invalidate the law that requires council signature. And yet the city attorney is pushing all faucets of the administration to fast forward this contract. And they're, to believe it or not, every department is giving pushback, saying the law is very clear that this council signature is required, but these activist kind of like politically sensitive judges that are trying to empower this mayor on a way out, they're just setting such horrific bad precedent that is really going to take us months of future legal wrangling and probably potentially charter amendments to clear it up. I mean, working with a variety of different groups, we're in the process of drafting a charter amendment with the city attorney's office, just because this city attorney has gone so rogue, and she is by all means the mayor's attorney and makes no bones about it. And as you know, the city attorney is supposed to be the attorney for the city of New Orleans, doing what's in its best interest, not what's in the best interest of a politician.
Maybe it's ground for a declaratory judgment on what the bounds of her authority really is, right?
I mean, I would argue you're right, and had this all come to a head 6 months ago, that would probably be a lawsuit worth doing. But at this point, with 6 months left, this city attorney has done such a horrifically bad job, on par, if not as bad as Mayor Cantrell, that really, she's just shown us that we need to, by a vote of the charter, really redefine that office to be an office that does not serve the council, does not serve the mayor, but serves the interests of the city. I mean, for example, you know, the city attorney has refused to join the council side on Wisner. We've already won the case, Newell. We've won 100% of the Wisner property for the city, and yet the city attorney, at her own behest and at the mayor, refuses to step forward to join us. Now, what could be more in the city's interest than having 100% of the proceeds from Port Fouchon for land the city would own? Any attorney representing a governmental body or a corporate body, what's in the best interest of citizens is being on the council side, the citizen side in Wisner. Instead, the city attorney in the office at the city attorney's best stays on an island with the mayor, arguing against what is in the best interest of the city of New Orleans.
Well, why not file a complaint with the Bar Association?
We're in the. I'm
I mean,
in the midst
this
of
is
doing
a pretty
just,
straight. this is a pretty straightforward representation issue. If you're a represented body, you know, I mean.
I'm in the midst of doing just that. I mean, I've reached this last episode dealing with the city attorney with the last round with this attempt to violate the suspensive appeal. Suspensive appeal aside, let me get really basic. When Troy Henry was attempting to get us to force our signature on this contract, his mandamus in front of Fallen Irons was not to invalidate the signature requirement, it was to make us do it. The suspensive appeal said we don't have to do it. However, to be clear, Mr. Henry not only didn't challenge the law requiring our signature, in the ruling that Judge Irons gave him, she cited the law, cited its validity, and sought to make us do it. All that being said, there is a line on the contract that requires the council signature that is not signed. The city attorney is now advising all the departments, kicking and screaming, I don't care what the current law is, a law that LaToya Cantrell signed, a law that she does not have the power under the charter renewal to invalidate. She's telling departments to disregard ordinances because that is what the mayor wants. I mean, I would tell you that we are at a point now where it depends on where my colleagues are, but I think you're really bumping up on malfeasance at this point, Noel.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I mean, there was malfeasance when it came to the Wisner. I mean, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. So let me ask you, let's do this. Can we go to a break and you can hang around for a minute?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, let us go to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We're visiting with J.P. Morrell, city council member at large. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with city council member at large, J.P. Morrell, talking about their ban on travel and the court's ruling. And we move to the garbage contract. Now we have citizens that have filed a lawsuit against the city relative to the garbage contract. Where do you think that's going to be headed?
I mean, I think that there was always an argument, as you know, that because so many provisions in the contract, for example, as you know, the half a bond, the prepayment of services, the RFP was a hot mess because the actual contract deviated tremendously from the RFP. Those citizens are seeking a declaratory judgment just saying the contract is complete garbage and is null and void. It's actually a much cleaner move and something the council probably should have done initially. And I think that they've got a good case. I think that's going to go all with this, all the way to the Supreme Court, if I had to guess. Yeah. And I think that this is very, I mean, you, Newell, you've been in public service. It is very clear if you look at this contract objectively and you look at how significantly the ultimate contract deviated from the RFP, this is a slam dunk black and white problem. This contract should have been rebid. We literally had three of five department heads in front of us when we discussed this recently, and three of the five department heads believe it should have been rebid because it's gotten turned into such a quagmire mess. So I think those citizens are going to be successful, and I think their taxpayer dollars are at risk. They all have standing. I think that, you know, we'll see what district court does in New Orleans, as you've seen recently, but district court won't have the final say. And the further you move from kind of the cesspool-y politics of the local judges and the more you get to the Fourth Circuit and then to the Supreme Court, you're going to have real debates on the law itself and not just on how we can warp the law to make the mayor get her way.
So one of the most recent travels of the mayor is to the U.S. Conference of Mayors, where she's talking about leadership, and she articulates that because she's black, because she's a woman, that's why she has faced all the trials and tribulations that she's had to face. Your reaction?
Well, I'm black. Five of the seven council members are black. And she's lost every fight at the council with a majority black council voting against her. In fact, all the charter amendments and the like, which were almost all either 5-7 or unanimous, there's been a consistent effort. This is a majority black city where the mayor enjoys a less than 20% approval rating. I mean, you can blame, if you want to avoid responsibility for your own decisions and own actions or inactions, you can always blame people for it. I mean, well, there are people that don't like me. I think the majority of them don't like me for a variety of reasons. I couldn't ever narrow it down to one. And I think anyone who tries to do that is really just trying to avoid. I mean, criticism is criticism. To be elected is to be criticized. Noel, you know that. I mean, no matter right. how much you're liked or disliked, every elected official has critics, and that's part of being elected. Blaming your critics because your approval ratings are low, because public confidence is low, and because people have lost faith in the direction of the city is really an effort to not do any effort to do a self-evaluation as to what you can be doing better as an elected official. I will tell you that if you ask anybody, including the mayor's supporters, should she be traveling the world right now when we have such significant problems at home, everyone's going to say they would rather the mayor be here trying to actually solve problems. I mean, the reality is we have so many challenges in the city right now, and the council would love to work cooperatively with the mayor. We do work cooperatively with several departments. I mean, Anthony Davis with code enforcement is doing a fantastic job throughout the city actually tearing down blighted property. I mean, the chief is doing a fantastic job lowering crime. They're partners we're working with, but that's leadership on an individual level. None of that is with guidance from the mayor, who's largely absent.
I just really think it's a slap in the face to the city, the constituents, so many people that are working hard inside of her administration. She's got some good folks there, where she brings up the Jim Crow South. You know, and I made this observation the other day. I don't think the Jim Crow South had anything to do with the inability to pay the lifeguards. I may be wrong. I don't know.
No, I mean, if you look at a lot of the issues that plague the city on a day-to-day level, the basic services that the council is constantly fighting with the mayor to get done properly, these are all leadership challenges, or let me revise that, a lack of leadership. I think once the mayor checked out, once certain departments checked out because the person who is their boss is checked out, it's like if your boss goes on vacation perpetually and you are in a department in a corporation where everyone's on vacation, you have two choices. You can work harder knowing that your job, your loyalties to the corporation and the best possible outcome, or you can go on vacation too. And I think when you look at a lot of the departments that are unresponsive and aren't doing their job, it's because the people at the highest levels have checked out with the mayor, because the mayor has shown that checking out and traveling is preferable in the final months of a term than actually being worried about your legacy. I mean, Newell, when you're at the highest levels of leadership in the city of New Orleans, great mayors are remembered and revered forever. I mean, people look at Dutch Moriel, look at Moon, and like they are pillars of the political community from what they accomplished. You look at other mayors like Ray Nagin, for example, and I mean, no one, his legacy is not a legacy. And I think that this mayor is kind of in the same boat. I think that she'll be a blip in history, and that's a choice she made by not fully committing to the role of being mayor and making this city better and having something that you left that changed the trajectory of the city. If nothing else, I mean, you look at crime, you look at the bright spots in the city's kind of thriving despite the mayor, not because of anything she's doing.
Well, you know, and a lot of the successes have been, you know, with the council stepping up outside of y'all's traditional role, compelling and forcing things, the business community, the not-for-profit community, and just the community at large, you know, really stepping up and taking leadership roles. You know,
it's good to have that,
but you don't want to have that all the time. You want your political folks to lead, right?
Right. I mean, the fact that we created the culture and rec front at the council to provide resources to nonprofits, to provide all these different services to kids, for example, to help them not jiggle door handles anymore. Like, we did all these things because there was no effort by the administration to focus resources into these organizations that were already directly positively impacting the community, like Son of a Saint or 18th Ward or any of those other groups, or, I mean, Heroes of Algiers, Daughters Beyond Incarceration, all these groups that were doing the work to bring the crime rate down. The city was giving them, the city, this mayor, through Forward New Orleans, whatever the hell they have, they weren't doing any of that. The council stepped up and did that, and we have seen tremendous dividends. I mean, you know, our police department is doing a great job, but the force hasn't grown.
No.
The council worked with the school board, with Thrive Kids, with the Children's Hospital to put social workers and resources in the schools. We did all this stuff around the mayor. And, yeah, I mean, it would have been nice to have a partner who was working toward identifying and solving problems, but kind of what you saw coming into this term was a lot of blaming third parties for why things weren't working out versus actually trying to solve the underlying problems.
Well, thank you all for all that y'all have done, and keep the faith. You know, this it's going to be a good birthday for me because the last day of her term of office is actually on my birthday, JP, January 11th, 2026.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. So I'm looking, I never look forward to birthdays, but I'm really looking forward to this birthday. And we'll just leave it at that on No Filter Friday, my friend. So
yeah, have a good 4th of July, Newell.
You too, my friend. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back. Check in with Scoot, folks. Stay with us.